Parshas Dvarim, as we know from the Arachayim, Eile HaDvarim, Eile is Begematria 36. Why? Because as we know in Pasuk Gimel it says that Moshe Rabbeinu gave this last speech to Bnei Yisrael starting Rosh Chodesh Shvat. And he continued until the day before he died. Vav Adar. And he died, as we know, the next day, Zayin Adar. And he waited till now, as Rashi brings down in Pasuk Gimel from Chazal, because, of course, when Musr is needed, B'shas Ma'aseh, at the time of an Aveira Chas V'Shalom, it has to be given. It can't be delayed. But with other kind of Musr, if it's needed again, if there's a good reason to delay it, you have to delay it. Sometimes delay takes over, has precedence over Zrizus. If it doesn't make any difference, and if there's more reasons, more important things to consider in order to give the Musa, to delay it. And Rashi brings down two of the four. He says etc. after the two. And as he explains, why? Because it shouldn't be a continuous giving Musa, Musa, Musa. As we know, that could be detrimental. You have to know how much to give. Also, that if it can be avoided, and still being done right, the person will be embarrassed. He will be embarrassed to come to him, because Baruch Hashem, we're talking about a person that realizes it also. And also, in order that he shouldn't have a grudge against that person. And lastly, that he shouldn't leave him, depart from him, because he can't take it anymore. He doesn't want to be with him. And as we can understand, when it's Samach Lemisa, these reasons go off. Because as far as continually giving him Musa, this will be the last time he's departing this life. As far as being embarrassed, he won't be here to have him be embarrassed. And as far as being a grudge, he would say that he can't be such a bad guy, the one getting the Musa, that even after the person dies, he's still going to bear a grudge. And lastly, to leave him, he already left him to the other world. And, of course, as Rashi explains in the next pasuk, Moshe also made sure that whatever you can do in this world for them, one of the big reasons would be to do it now before the Musa, in order not to have these people complain that he's only giving an excuse, in order that they shouldn't be able to chas v'shalom enter the land again. But he shows them that no, he's conquering for them this part of the Yarden, to show them that they are going to enter, and therefore now they are ready in Yetzer Hashem for that Musa. We also know, as the Gemara Chagiga says, that the Torah was given in its entirety by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu directly a third time in Arvos Moav. Of course, they learned and reviewed during the whole 40 years, and continue in Yetzer Hashem, as we know. And the fact that it was given these three times by Hashem, as the Kol Dodi explains, directly to Moshe, the same way as in Har Sinai, it corresponds to the three Amudim in Pirkei Avos of Torah, Vavoda, Ugemilas Chasodim. in Sinai represented the pillar of Torah. Where in the Midbar that they were provided for all their needs. The whole generations was a kolel generation. Wouldn't have to worry about where their income came from. They were supported by Hashem directly with food, water, shelter. And therefore they could devote their time fully to Torah. In the Mishkan, when it was repeated, it was corresponding to Avoda, the service, and of course the ideal. The highest Madrega is in the Mishkan, or the Beis HaMikdash. And of course, now, in Arvos Moav, again, why? For the last pillar of Gemilas Chasodim, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, whereas the Avoda is Ben Adam L'Makom, and Torah is the overall that consists of both, of everything. And why was it done this way? And we can say, in order to emphasize, focus on each of these three things. Of course, for all three things, you need the entire Torah. But when you're dealing with a certain aspect, you concentrate on that and bring in, of course, all the mutually interdependent things that you need from all over in the Torah. Just like Torah learning, of course, has to be ideally purely lishma. But at the same time, it must be directed in order to serve Hashem and also to express it as much as we can in kindness to others, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. And that's why here was Bayarvos Moav focused on that. Because now, when they enter the land of Eretz Yisrael, as we know in Parshas Nitzavim, they are taking upon themselves the Har Evel and Har Grizim to be Arevim Zelazer, responsible for one another, to make sure the highest Madrega of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro to strive for and carry out. So we see that besides the Musa, he's giving him the entire Torah over again at this point in his life. But getting back to that Musa, we find an interesting wording here in the Pasuk. In the first Pasuk it says, Mol Suf Bein Paron Vein Tofel V'Lavon. These Beins that are put here seems to show a connection between one and the other, a Hemshech, an underlying connection between them all. What would that be? And we can say, as Rashi brings down from Chazal, Mosuf is of course connected what they did by Yamsuf. And by Yamsuf there was a double Aveira. Before going into the Yamsuf, they didn't have enough Emunah to jump in as Nachshon ben Ami and Nadav did. As we know, they didn't understand and have that emunah that if Hashem tells you to jump in, breathe in water, you can breathe in water. Why did he take you out of Mitzrayim? And therefore they are taken to task for it. But not only that, as we know, that even after they came through the Yam Suf, they had still not an Ephon Muna. What did they say? They thought that Chas V'Shalom, the Mitzrayim, will come around and meet them at the other end. Why would they follow them in and get drowned? Even a possibility. But they'll come around and say, hello, Didn't see you in a while. Time to pay the toll, some toll, huh? But that's it. Again, they didn't have that faith that they should have. And therefore, that is the same connection to Paran by the Meraglim. The faith before as they are about to enter Eretz Yisrael, when ideally they would have before the Chet, they should have had first, of course, as we know, the faith that they shouldn't even need to send spies. But even if they did, the point was they should have had enough faith that if Hashem says, and the spies, even after they come back, and don't forget, they gave some good report also. As they said, Tova Haaretz, right? And as we know from Chazal, because someone who wants to lie, the best kind of lie is if he puts in a little truth also, as we can understand. And, in fact, as we see in this parsha, when it mentions that, in Pasuk of Hey, it's very interesting that after it mentions that, it says immediately in the next pasuk, and you did not want to go up. It's very strange. They're saying that the spies said, it's a good land that Hashem gave us. They don't even mention in this parsha the bad part. Why? And the Darash Moshe, Moshe Zatzal explains, according to what along the lines was saying here, that once they heard that the land was good, the truthful part, that should have been enough. They should have, so to speak, closed their ears. Anything else, Keneged Hashem, it's as if it did not exist. If there's nothing said, their ears are blocked. It means nothing. That was what should have happened. And therefore, that's corresponding, we can say, to the before of the Yam Suf also, before they entered. And the Tofel, the Lavan, which is a complaint about the Man, corresponds to the after the fact of the Nes. Just like after the Yam Suf Nes, they still the same thing here. Their complaints, as Rashi explains about the Man, Lechem Aklokel. How could they possibly think that Man, that Hashem is giving them, such an ace, that they shouldn't even have to waste time to go to the Beis HaKise, and yet again, the little faith that they are saying that Chas V'Shalom, that it's going to mean their death after everything that Hashem did for them. So again, that's an example of after the fact of the Nes. The Kol Dodi offers another explanation to help us understand more about the Yetzer Hara that they had, since it is rather difficult to understand that after everything they saw, to still not have enough faith that Hashem could do anything to them. And he explains it this way, that what the Meraglim was saying is, as we know from the Ramban in Vayikra, how one that goes to Eretz Yisrael, more is expected of him. Just like, in general, a place where there's more Kedusha, more Kedusha is expected of you. Things that you would be permissible to do in one place, outside the Beis HaMikdash for instance, is not permissible by the Beis HaMikdash. Chutz La'aretz, not in Eretz Yisrael. That's the point of the Meraglim. That now, that they would have to enter Eretz Yisrael to overcome these giants, the lack of ability is themselves. That they wouldn't be zocha because more is expected of them. That was their fear. They were afraid of that responsibility, or otherwise they would be lost. They would lose out. And that's the same thing with the man. The Gemara says that the man was called Lavan in the Pasuk. Why? Because just like the Meis HaMikdash is called Lavano, because it's Malbin of the, it's Malbin the Chatoyim of Bnei Yisrael. It turns white, a kapara. So of course we know how the Beis HaMikdash does that. How does the man do it? Because, as we know, the man was given every day, and they didn't get more than one day's supply. So of course, they didn't have a pas pasalo, bread in the basket, and therefore, each day, they had to make sure they kept on their toes, or else they wouldn't get food. Of course, we know, if you don't keep on your toes, you could lose it no matter how much food you have in storage. But of course, as we know, a human being is a human being. Here, so to speak, there was no other way to see it. They saw it b'chush. Each day was given, no more, no less. That was also the same connection. The fact that they were afraid of that. The Yetzer Hara was working on them. They didn't want like that. Hashem being over them, being Mashgiach over them, constantly, so closely. Just as the Pasuk says with Eretz Yisrael, that Eini Hashem Elokecha, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. More so to speak, than other places, is not so apparent. Of course, Hashem is always there, everywhere. And that was the mistake. Because Hashem never gives a person more than he can handle. If Hashem gives it to you, if Hashem wants you to have the man, Eretz Yisrael, and with the responsibilities that come with it, it's only for your own good, for eternal reward, for the greatest simcha forever after, or else he wouldn't have done it. That's what we all have to always think of. Everything that comes our way, we turn the button on or off of Hashem's blessings, or Chas V'Shalom, the reverse. It's up to us. We don't have to be afraid of anything, as long as we fulfill the will of Hashem. In Pasuk Hei, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu Be'eras HaTorah Zos Seymar explained its Torah. And as Rashi says, V'shivim Lashon Pir Shalehem. And the Rosh Hashiva explains that Be'er has the same letters as Be'er, a well. As we know, the Torah is compared to water, the life-giving source of all life. As the Torah, of course, without it, the world wouldn't exist. And there's something else it's being shown us by being compared to a bear. Just like a well, you have constantly fresh water coming up. So also the Torah is always fresh. You never weary of learning the Torah. Any, no matter how many times you learn it, you can always find more, mine the treasures of the Torah, no matter how long you do it. It's not, as Kohelet says, other things in the world, kol advarim yigayim, weary, literally, tiring out, because no matter what you like, the best chocolate cake or whatever, there's just a limit of how much you could eat, and then it becomes not so good, but not the case of Torah, unless you're not learning it the right way. But if you're learning it the right way, it never tires you out. The Simchas HaTorah is always there, forever after. As we know, Parshas Dvarim, as always, a Tish B'Av. And as we know, Sheni starts with Eicha, Esol of Adi, the Lashon of Eicha. And that's why the Balkaira, as we know, does not start the Aliyah with that, because one is not supposed to start or end with a negative inyan by the Leini. And the Midrash Neicha says that just as Moshe used the Lashon of Eicha, Eicha Esel Avadi, so Yeshaya used the Lashon of Eicha, Ayesel Zona, and finally Yirmiya, Eicha Yoshva Vadod. So one must understand, when we take a look at the pasuk, it doesn't seem to be a negative, a bad thing here, that Eicha Esel Avadi Tochachem Maslachem Berivchem, that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying you need other judges. I alone will not be good enough to handle all you Bnei Yisrael in the ideal way. So what's pshat that his Eicha is put together with Yeshayas and Yirmiyahus? So one pshat that Rosh Shivas mentions, that the Gemara in Sanhedrin mentions, that the Gematria of Eicha is 36, to show that if Bnei Yisrael Chas V'Sholom transgressed the 36 krisos that are mentioned in the Torah, then they would receive the einish that would make people cry out Eicha. And what's the connection here? As Rosh Hashiv explains, because it starts when there's a breakdown in the justice system, when you see that what petty theft is left unpunished, that crimes that should be taken seriously are not. People who are doing averis are not rebuked by the sheftim, by the rabbanim. This Chas V'Sholom has the domino effect that will lead to the destruction. And that's what Moshe understood and saw beforehand, as he says also in Parshas Vayelech, that he sees in the future how they will go against Hashem, Rachman al-Islam. And he saw the roots here of the problems that he had with them. And this is part of his Musa, that take it to heart. Change, do tshuva, make sure this doesn't happen. Don't think that even though now you're okay, you're ready to enter the land, don't think it can happen. The Yetzer Hara is always there. That's why he even mentions past history, even most of the averis that this generation did not participate in. Because one has to understand that just as others have done it, especially when it's your ancestors, so can you anytime. It's never in the pocket, so to speak, that you don't have to worry about it. That's the point of learning history. Binu shnos dor v'dor. It's not just a history lesson, it's the lessons of history, so there shouldn't be repeated the mistakes of the past. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is getting at here. And we can also say, as the Rosh Hashiva, Zatzal, the Meishin, Darash Meishin explains, that there's another point to the Eicha, the negativity here. That the Eicha is that if Moshe Rabbeinu would be sole judge, that is the ruination of the people. Why? Because if the people see that only Moshe Rabbeinu is the judge, the Rebbe, they don't aspire to becoming a Rebbe and a judge themselves. They say, who can be like Moshe Rabbeinu? It's no use. Or that, okay, we have Moshe Rabbeinu, even though the Gezeira is he doesn't live forever, but they might say we have time or whatever. People don't think to the future in general like they should. And therefore they feel that what's the use? But that's a grave mistake. Each one has to aspire to become the greatest gadol that they can be. And in B'yasiyata D'shmaya, when they have that will and they toil in the Torah, they will accomplish. They will be judges and rebbeim in their own right. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying here. The Eicha is, if Chas V'Sholom, I alone am the judge, and you will come to those kind of thoughts. It would be the ruination of Bnei Yisrael, Chas V'Sholom. And Rabbi Avrom Yitzchak Rubin, Shlita, made me think of another pshat also from something he said about connecting Levadi alone with the expression of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Eicha Yashva Levadod, alone. And that here, what Moshe Rabbeinu is also saying, as we see actually in Rashi also, that would be an Eicha to be alone, the sole judge, the responsibility of carrying on one's shoulders all Bnei Yisrael without any help and other judges being involved in sharing that responsibility of the all of Bnei Yisrael. As the President Truman had on his desk, the buck stops here. It's a lonely place. So now we can see the connection between all three Eichas. Moshe Rabbeinu, even though now, so many years before the actual Averis, and Yeshaya at the time of the actual Averis themselves, and Yirmiyahu after the Einish for those Averis, the Churban, Abayis. And even so, as we know, Yirmiyahu gave them Chizuk, that it's never too late, and that they can do tshuva and bring back the Beis HaMikdash, the Mashiach. Alavai, we should be zeich in our time. Also, hashta ba'golo v'zman kariv. You see before Revi, Pasuk Lamed Zayin says, Gam bi yisanaf Hashem beglalchem limor. Also me, Hashem, got angry with because of you, saying, Gam atol osovosham. You also will not enter Eretz Yisrael. So the question, of course, is Moshe would not take credit for his mistake and saying that it's because of you, Bnei Yisrael, that I am not being able to enter the land. So Rosh Hashiva Shlita Koldodi explains that, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu admits to whatever he did. But the point he's making here, if you were on the Madrega, that you wouldn't need my death, you wouldn't need the punishment that Hashem is giving me, not to enter Eretz Yisrael, I wouldn't have that kind of punishment. For what I did, innocently, accidentally, such a punishment I would not deserve on my own. It's only because you need the Madrega you're in, that punishment of mine, to see how important it is to serve Hashem and not do any aveiros, to learn the lesson that you see even I and the small aveira, so to speak, that I did, can get such a punishment. A ben b'nai shal kal v'chomer, other people with bigger aveiros, vadai, should understand how important it is to be careful and to do the Ritzon Hashem, that you should get the greatest good and not any einish whatsoever. After Revi, when he continues with the Chet HaMaraglim, an amazing thing happens, that they're told they're going to be punished for what they did, and they come and they said they want to do tshuva, they'll go up now and listen to Hashem to go into Eretz Yisrael. and they get a direct command from Hashem through Moshe Rabbeinu that no, they are not supposed to do this. In fact, if they do it, they will get just the opposite in Einish for doing it. They will be smitten. And yet, they do it anyway. What is going on here? Of course, one might want to say that when one wants to do something and focused on that, he doesn't listen to anything, so to speak. But it's a little difficult to say that here. A direct command from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Hashem. Therefore, I would want to say that maybe we could look at it this way. That when they wanted to do tshuva, they want to do it in the same way, the good that they did the evil. To show they did the tshuva completely. Just like Hashem told them not to go to Eretz Yisrael and didn't listen, now they feel that they want to go into Eretz Yisrael, and it's so to speak like a test from Hashem. To telling them not to, they talk themselves into it, that that's really what Hashem wants. Just like we transgress His will for bad, we want to now not really transgress, but He's giving us a test. Of course He wants us to go, and therefore we want to do it, and we're going to do it. This is a test. As if it's a command from Hashem not to do what He really wants. No, we will do it. But of course, as we know, that's the danger of the Yetzer Hara. The Rebbe tells you what to do and everything. Don't be smarter than the Rebbe. May it's Hashem, we should always fulfill the will of Hashem.